Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com, which, by the way, a lot of you have. Thank you. The website has been lighting up. We hit some new highs. Some records for most unique visitors, most visits this month. So we've got that busy spring market we talked about. We've done a lot of SEO work on the website. And so we are seeing records everywhere in the business right now, which is fantastic. Folks, I always like to thank John McCabe here for working and hosting to make this show really happen. John, how are you?
Dylan's Kamiakin freshman baseball team is undefeated.
Oh, congratulations! Nice. You're doing good for sure. Well, we had last weekend. I think I told you we had the hockey, and we had two kids make to the state championships. But unfortunately, we had two overtime losses. Oh. We call that character building at the Kenmore household.
Hey, I have a lot of respect for hockey parents. I thought baseball parents were busy. Hockey parents, you guys get a gold medal.
Well, and then we've got our own local Tri-City Americans in the playoff run. And so Tuesday, Wednesday night back here in Tri-City. So, yeah, so we've got a little bit of an extended season there. A lot of really, really good stuff going on. Well, we always like to start off the show with kind of our crazy national real estate story. And you might have seen, they call this the American Horror Story Mansion.
TV show.
Exactly. It's in L.A. It's been on, they pretty much used it like a TV set. It's been on Law and Order, Grey's Anatomy, Californication, Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. Anytime they get a spooky house, they use this one.
Well, it finally sold. It's been off and on the market for the last 4 to 5 years. At one time, asking a price tag of $17 million, finally, last month sold for $3.2 million.
A little bit of a haircut.
Far cry from, I'm sure there was that unknown. At some point, somebody probably ignored the market data and said, will all of this history and all of these films, will that increase the price that far over market? And in this situation, obviously, it did not.
That's got to be the biggest bath you've ever reported on the...
Yeah, it was from list price to eventual sales price. Yeah, it was really interesting. And so that's the thing. A lot of times we come up with that in our business. I like to tell folks that we have kind of a 80%, 20% type thing. 80% of what we do is very scientific and data related, but then you do have that location and view, and no two are exactly the same, and so you're tweaking that all the time, and it's that last part that you can't flip it the other way. You can't make it 80% artistic and 20% based upon the data. And as you can see, that was way out of whack for sure.
You got to imagine they made a pretty good profit, I bet, on all those movie sets. Right?
Yeah, you would think. Yeah, I don't know that industry very well, but I definitely think there was some rental income coming in there. And so somebody, it looks like, potentially got a great, great piece of history there. Another thing that I found very interesting, we always like to kind of bring it back to a local topic that applies is I subscribe to a great economist blog, and it's Elliot Eisenberg, and this came from his blog from Tuesday, March 24th. And what this is he kind of looks at trends and relates them to economics. And it was a very interesting statistic that said the number of Americans that moved in 2013, there was 35.7 million Americans move. So that's 11.5% of the population. So they started keeping these records in 1948, and actually the percentage of movers has steadily declined. So in 1948, when they started recording it, 20% of the population was moving, and that's declined, as we just reported, to 11.5% of the population now. However, The gross number of movers has actually increased because the population growth due to the boomers. So the number of movers has steadily rose. It was 28.7 million in 1948 during the baby boom population. It increased to 40 million in 1985. Where it remained pretty steady there until 2005, and now we've seen that number drop a little bit to 35.7 million. And the only significance there is that reduced mobility, if I can say it there, reduced mobility actually reduces economic growth. So that's kind of an indicator of how much economic growth that we're going to have, because we'll see more people move when there's job growth and they start to move around to different areas to fill those jobs.
Yeah, that makes sense. They have kids or
exactly. Exactly. So it's just interesting. I guess I don't know which number I would have picked, but another interesting number to know that roughly 11% of our population is moving every year. And that's pretty significant when I take a look at it.
You know, I never thought about that, but I would say that's probably higher than what I would expect it to be.
Yeah, me too. And it actually kind of brings a little smile to me. Thinking job security here.
Be it
in the real estate industry.
How do I tap into that 11%?
Absolutely. So there's our news stories, our real estate news stories. And now we're back to kind of what's going on in our local market. And I looked back. And one of the things that we've been doing a lot of lately, and as the weather starts to warm up and the grass is starting to grow, is we're back to doing just a ton of evaluations for sellers. And a lot of that is come out, take a look at the property, and what do I need to do to get this house sold? And so it's just always good to touch base, because if you're thinking about selling in 2015, if you're thinking about putting the house on the market in the next couple months or this summer or even into the fall, there's some things that you can do ahead of time that make a big, big difference. The other thing that I like to point out to people is that sometimes when there's been a lot of reports about we have low inventory and the market is good, but a lot of times what happens is people then tend to slack off a little bit on some of the other things. They're like, oh, well, I've heard the market's so great, so just put the house on the market. But you can't, just because we have good trending in that direction, you can't ignore some of the basics. Still, the best prepared and the best presented houses are still bringing top dollar and getting the multiple offers in that market. So even in a market like we have right now, if you're not prepared well enough, your competition is going to be doing the extras that they need to get it sold. So I thought I'd go over what a couple of those extras are and what you can do to get things ready. This time, your number one is keep the lawn edged, cut, and watered regularly. A lot of times coming out of these winter months, folks have not turned on their irrigation water yet. Maybe they've forgotten to do that spring fertilization. And so you can drive down the blocks right now, and it's really apparent who has taken a few extra steps, thrown an extra hose out there, to get things ready. And you can see what that trimming looks like, the green yard looks like.
You can tell who's fertilized.
It can be $3,000 to $5,000. That can be a big, big deal when someone's coming, because that curb appeal is huge. And people ask, it's not just when someone pulls up to the house. A lot of times there's very, very little things that happen. Say somebody is 10 minutes early. Well, when someone's 10 minutes early meeting their real estate agent, what do? They park in front of the house that they're meeting them at. So then they're just sitting there for 10 minutes, and that's a long time to sit in one spot and just kind of stare at the front of the house. So they're really, really scrutinizing what's going on with the house. The second big thing that I wrote down was inspecting doors and windows for peeling paint. The trim around the front door a lot of times is the first thing to get weathered. It takes a lot of the wind or the rain, depending upon the direction that it's at, and it sits there at the front door. Another one of those little minute things that happens is where is everybody standing? Why the realtor fools around getting the key and getting the door unlocked? Mm-hmm. They're all just standing there at the front door. So naturally, you're looking around. Oh, and you're like, oh man, this door jam. It looks like the paint's peeling at the bottom. And I would say 40% of the houses we go to, we end up seeing that. So it's amazing how that front yard lawn care, trimmed, watered, fertilized, bushes trimmed back, along with peeling paint around the doors can really make a big difference. In fact, I just had a couple guys on my crew doing that last week on a house we were getting ready to put on the market. And I was like, hey, that window seal, that front door, all of that has to be taken care of before we get it listed.
Well, nobody wants to buy a house that they're going to have to turn around and spend $5,000 in 2 weeks straight trying to fix it up again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so if you can take that away off the plate, you're going to have way, way better success. Next thing that I wrote down that comes out really, really, really big is repair or replacing any damaged roof shingles. You know, we're starting to get some of that wind. You know, we had some last weekend. I think we're supposed to, unfortunately, have some more this afternoon.
That last week.
And so, you know, invariably, there's always one or two of those shingles that come off. If they're, especially if they're forward facing the street, once again, it comes down to that curb appeal when the customer drives up there. The roof is a major item where people see big, big dollar signs. And so you want to make sure that those little things are fixed. Another thing that comes out when they're doing that roofing repair is a lot of time you have the rubber jacks that go around the exhaust vent. Mm-hmm. You've got a rubber seal that comes out.
For skylight.
Those tend to weather and crack faster than the rest of the roof. So, you know, it's a very simple fix to get those replaced ahead of time before an inspector comes through there, and it just gives a better look to the overall condition of the roof.
Well, all these things you're explaining, these are all like the first impression items, and they're minor little deals, but they make a huge impact on that first impression.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we're not talking the big dollar stuff here, so when I tell a lot of people, I'm like, okay, here's the $250 to $400 type stuff that we can do that can make sure that you get the look and that you get who you want in the house and feeling like the house was maintained. It's just such a different feeling if a couple of those little things are taken care of, where a buyer's like, oh, someone really cares about this place. They've really maintained
it. I was going to ask that. Do people ever ask, well, if the outside looks like this, what am I going to find on the inside?
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes hand in hand. And so we get that all of the time. Two, the next big thing about it is a lot of our initial showings happen online now. So people really scrutinize those photos. So when we come and take those initial listing photos, you can bet that that photo is going to be viewed 30, 40, 60, 70 times online before somebody even comes to the house. And they're going to make a decision based upon that online photo if that's one of the ones they're going to keep on the list or not. The next thing that I wrote down is that you should keep your garage door closed and cars out of the garage during showings. So a lot of times people say, well, gosh, should I just put everything into the garage out of the house when I'm decluttering? Well, that's better than not doing anything. So we have levels of betterness. I'm not sure that's proper English. But as we go through those levels, it is better to have all of the clutter out of the house and boxed up and in the garage. But if we want to take it to the next level, we want to take then all of those boxes and all of that and get that stuff to storage. Because a large garage, when someone looks in and sees it full of somebody's stuff, they're like, oh, wow, it's full of a lot of stuff. That's what happens in their mind. That's just they say it out loud, so I know that's what happens during those showings. If you open the garage and it's completely cleaned and perfectly organized and the shovels and rakes are hanging on then folks will say, every time they look out there and there's no cars parked in there, they'll come in and say, oh, wow, this is a really nice large garage. Mm-hmm. And it can be the exact same garage, but you have just implanted that impression into their mind. So that makes a big, big difference. And it's hard to see when a car is parked in the garage, you know, how much room there actually is out there. So I tell a lot of my clients, hey, when you leave, take one car out of the garage, leave it open, and go ahead and park the other one down the street. So those are our exterior tips, you know, to help the house look better. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tom Coyne and Umpqua about what's going on the lending side, and we're going to hit a couple of those interior tips that you can start working on now so that we can be listed on the market in the hot real estate market in the next couple of weeks.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been cranking away here with what's going on the spring market, how to have your house ready to sell, kind of looking ahead if you're going to make a move like that. We went over some statistics about, looks like about 10% of you out there are going to move this year. So that's kind of crazy when I looked at that number and went through. So I said, let's talk about getting ready to make that move. And also, in what's going on with our market and in some price ranges, you know, especially under $175,000 right now, it seems like we're seeing a lot of multiple offers. And so one of the things that happens is, how can we be ready for that? And I'm going to turn that over to Tom Coyne.
You know, Lance, in all my years in the business, I've never seen the market like what it is right now. There's the shortage of inventory that a lot of us all know about it. And there seem to be more buyers looking for homes than there are homes that are actually for sale. So when a good home comes on the market, it's fairly priced, it's in good shape, they follow these tips like Lance has pointed out here. They're getting multiple offers and they're selling them really quick. And I think you're seeing probably more and more multiple offer situations than maybe you have in recent past, I'm guessing.
Yeah, under 175, we are expecting to be multiple right now. I mean, some of the upper price ranges are still a little more normalized, but yeah, under 200, under 175, almost every time right now we're seeing multiple offers.
Well, with it like this, it's more important than ever to make sure you have your financing lined up and you have your pre-approval in hand. So when that perfect home comes along, you're ready to make an offer. Because like Lance just said, the house comes on the market and the first day, multiple offers coming in. And if you're the one guy who writes an offer and you don't have a pre-approval letter, you're probably not even going to be taken seriously. So the first step is go to my website. It's just TomCoyneHomeLoans.com. Now, the application that you fill out online, it probably just takes you 5-10 minutes to complete, and that gets emailed directly over to me. We're then going to get back in touch with you, and we're going to ask some kind of generic questions to get started. What sales price are you looking for? How much of a down payment are you hoping to make? Your loan term? Is there a monthly payment you're trying to stay around? And then I'll review your application, and I'll fairly quickly identify what's going to be your best option. Now, just because I know your best option doesn't mean that you do, and I'm not just going to tell you here's what you're getting. We're going to set up a time to have you come by the office so I can explain why is this your best option. And when you come into the office, I'm going to give you a better idea what to expect, because maybe your expectations for what sales price you're going to be buying, it doesn't line up with where you want your monthly payment. So we're going to align those expectations to make sure you're looking at the house that you can afford. I'll tell you every time, if you want a payment at $170,000 and you're looking at $200,000 houses, every time you're going to like the $200,000 house more than the $170,000 house.
Yes, pretty much.
So don't even look at the $200,000 if you're shopping at $170,000. So when you come in, we're just going to get all on the same page. And then I'm going to review your income documentation. So when you come to me, I'm not one of those lenders who you're going to fill out a couple questions online and here's my pre-approval letter, I'm good to go. We're going to set that appointment. You're going to come by the office. We're going to, again, line those expectations. And I'm going to review a number of items for you. The main thing that we're always looking at is your income documentation. So when you fill out that application, have 1 month of pay stubs, 2 years tax returns and W-2s, and your last two bank statements ready. Those are the core items we're going to get for every single client. Now, occasionally, additional questions come up. Maybe the income you told me on your application isn't what's showing on the pay stubs. That could be a simple explanation, like, I just got a raise. Or maybe you aren't really always getting 40 hours a week. You're actually working more of 32 average. And then that certainly affects how much you can get approved for. We're going to look at your bank account. If you said you're going to put 10% down, but you only have enough in there for 5%, that's going to trigger me to ask, well, where is this other money coming from? You know, oh, I got it under the mattress. Well, maybe that could cause other concerns, or maybe you're getting a gift or a retirement fund. So a lot of different options there. Now, we could see that you get child support or alimony. That's going to trigger us to get a divorce decree. So getting these things done ahead of time is so important before you find that house. Because if you don't have all that information readily available, and now you got to run down to the courthouse and try to request a copy of your child support order, you're not going to get your approval letter on Sunday afternoon while I'm at home with family. So it's really, really important to, you know, get your application in, and let's set up a time to have you come in, and so you're ready when that house comes, even if you think you're maybe 2 or 3 months out from buying. Now, once I've reviewed all this stuff, then you're going to get that approval letter, and you're ready to shop for a home. Now, most of the time, we can issue these approval letters the same day, but we do run into situations where we have the client out there rounding up additional documentation. So again, that's why it's so important to call me ahead of time. Let's get you pre-approved, and you know exactly what to expect.
And now, there is a difference between pre-qualify and pre-approved.
There absolutely is. Absolutely is. Yeah, pre-qualification doesn't mean really anything.
Squat. No. Yeah, it makes a big difference. And that type of stuff starts to get scrutinized in these multiple offer situations.
It really does.
We're looking at who the lender is. You know, is this a pre-approval letter that we're looking from Tom? Is it a pre-approval letter that we're looking, you know, from XYZ, you know, company in, you know, North Carolina, and I've never heard of it again.
Or in the Cayman Islands.
Yes, absolutely. So you get 2 or 3 offers in front of you, and you really start to look at that. Another thing that we started to use, you know, my agents and myself, we get together and we talk about these strategies, how we can get these offers accepted for our buyers. So there's different things we can use, escalation clauses. There's something called an evidence of funds addendum that not a lot of agents use. So the best agents are not using stuff like that. For instance, we're counseling a lot of our buyers that if they say they're putting 10% down and they're making an offer, a lot of times we'll not only have the pre-approval letter, but we'll also have an addendum called an evidence of funds addendum. An evidence of funds addendum says that you're going to provide documentation that you have the 10% down. And then a lot of times we'll go the next step and we'll have the client bring a copy of their bank statement showing that 10% in. We'll X out the private information, but keep the name and show it to them. So you're as a seller, you're sitting down, you get 2 offers the first day. You have 1 offer that is full price, you know, and it has a pre-approval letter from an online company. That's it. You've got a second offer that's got a pre-approval letter from somebody local like Tom that we know. It's got an evidence of funds addendum, and it's got a copy of their bank statement showing that they have the down payment. Both offers net the seller exactly the same. I can tell you 9 times out of 10 which one they're going to go with. Mm-hmm. And the other offer might be perfectly capable of closing. They might have the money in their bank account. It's just a matter of, do you want to do what your agent suggests to be super competitive? Do you want to take those extra steps to get the house? Or likely not. So you really have to kind of change your strategies. And so we're always counseling and coaching and working on those best strategies to get that done. And you've heard 2 or 3 really good ones here today from Tom.
Yeah, that's important. Get your pre-approval letter out of the way, and you're going to be in a situation where your offer is going to be looked at very seriously against the offers you're competing with.
Fantastic, Tom. Thanks for that information. We always like to get in some new properties that we have out there.
The pick three.
And I tell you what, number one is absolutely fantastic. This is 5503 Coolidge Court here in West Pasco, and this is an immaculate 5-bedroom, 3-bath house on a cul-de-sac. So you get that less traffic there.
2463 square feet. It's got a huge entryway that brings you into a large living room. You've got a big, big kitchen and pantry. It's got the breakfast bar, tons of cabinets, tile floors, dining area. It opens right up into the living room, and then they've gone ahead and done an extended rear patio. So you've got that nice slider onto the rear patio, super well landscaped, professionally landscaped yard. Upstairs, you've got a huge master bedroom, private bath, dual sinks, soaking tub, separate shower. And I tell you what, the gal that lives here has just done an amazing job decorating. So you just get that a decorator lives here feel when you walk in. And so this is a great, great new listing and priced really well. That type of square footage for $229,900. So under $100 square foot, couple years old, you know, newer construction, West Pasco home. That's 5503 Coolidge Court. Give us a call. Go to our website. We'd love to show that to you.
That won't be around
for That long. One won't be around for very long. Pick number two also is fantastic. This is 8900 West Skagit Avenue. So this is up in Fountain Hills, right above Costco there. So you've got that West Kennewick location there right behind the mall. It's a four-bedroom, three-bath stucco house up there, 1892 square feet. You've got a gorgeous kitchen with tile flooring, pantry, dining and living area. Then you've got a separate family room loft upstairs. Large master suite, which has a private deck and a really nice view up there. Kind of sits on the hill up there above Gage. And so great, great property. I mean, you can walk to everything from around there. You can walk to the movie theater, to Olive Garden, to the mall. So very nice local central location. I mean, once you got home on Friday, I don't even know if you'd have to move the car out of the garage. I mean, you've got everything around there. And if you need to, now Steptoe cuts through real close. Yeah. So I just couldn't say more about that location. And that's priced at $217,500.
Wow.
So, I mean, just, and you've got the tile roof, stucco, low maintenance. Great, great property. Pick number three, this is probably what I think just the best deal in South Richland right now. This is 1807 Talon Court. Now, this is a four-bedroom, three-bath. You've got Rambler with a daylight basement on a huge corner lot. So this is just off of Gage and Keene area. Great, great South Richland location. 3,200 square feet. You've got the kitchen, which opens up to the family room. You've got tile floors, granite counters, stainless steel appliances. I mean, this place is just decked out. And then in the lower level, you have a huge 22x14 bonus family room, which has a slider that goes out to covered patio, and then huge, huge entertaining. Fully fenced backyard, great pergola area, great play area for the kids. So this is in Sequoia Springs there, and this is at 338.
Wow.
I mean, it's hard to get into South Richland with that much square footage for 338. So fantastic, fantastic pick threes out there. Great property to show, and it's continuing to be just a very quick moving, good weather, great spring market here in the Tri-Cities. Now, before we run out of time, we've had a lot of tips and stuff today. A couple quick interior tips if you're thinking about putting the house on the market. I'll just kind of run through some of the bullet points here. But number one is just we talked about removing the clutter. We talked about not putting it in the garage if you can prevent it. But removing that clutter, getting rid of the personalized family photos, packing those away, getting rid of the extra clutter. And sometimes it takes a little time because if you have 22 family photos on a wall and you take them all down, it's not just a matter of taking them down. Usually then you look at that wall and it needs to be painted.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of that takes a little bit of time when you really...
Nail holes and all that.
Exactly. And then sometimes the paint doesn't match up and you can't get it done. So it takes a little bit of time thinking ahead of getting that stuff removed and out of there. As part of that decluttering, you can look at your less frequently used items and clear those out. If you haven't used it in 2 or 3 months, you know, put it in a cabinet or pack it away. It makes a big, big difference.
All these things you're mentioning, like, this will help you on that big move. Moving stressful enough to get half of it done, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so it kind of breaks it up into manageable chunks. And then what you're competing with a lot of times is new home model construction. I mean, that's always the alternative. People say, okay, let's look at these resale houses. And, you know, just for the heck of it, let's see what we could get in our price range that was brand new. Mm-hmm. So then they go look at brand new model homes, and then that image is hard to get out of their mind. And so
they're going
to
compare you with a brand new.
And that's just exactly what happens. And so you, as close as you can get to that, then what happens is they look at the brand new and they say, gosh, you know what? That's great, but let's go back to that one on Skagit, because it was almost just as nice as this inside, but it had all the landscaping done, the fence, and the blinds were all up. Mm-hmm. And they go back and then they purchase that one. So if you want to make yours as close to that as possible, it really, really helps in that resale market. So I can't say enough, if you're thinking about selling in the next couple of weeks, we've been doing back-to-back consultations like this just all week long, all weekend long. So it's that time of year. If you need help with some of those items, please let us know. You can go to our website at kenmoreteam.com, take a look there. And we're going to be out selling real estate, and then we will be right back here next week,
right here on News Talk 870.